as you know, we did a cultural committee for health. I'm sure you know that Parliament is made up of committees, which are actually the engines of Parliament. So it means though that just a committee, there might be three or four that are sitting here, but they are representing Parliament sitting here. So it's an extension of so what the part of their work is to oversight the department. And the department that they're oversighting the Department of Science and Technology, which you happen to be attending in that department. We're not very clear that we know what you're doing, but we think we know what you're doing. But the reason that we want you to talk to us now is because we want to make sure that you do what you're supposed to be doing. You are transforming the country the direction that you want it to go, and you do those things under the present government. But we know that if we're doing an oversight, sometimes we make recommendations, but they never get carried out. Now we've formulated a new law, which is very new, which we're still trying to find our way. We might amend it as we go along, which gives us power as Parliament. So that if we have made recommendations, we could even change the monies that go to the department. Either we recommend that it must be increased, or we recommend that it must be taken. So, and as you know, there's no good way to ever be satisfied with money. So we think that even yourselves, you might need more money. But in doing so, we know very well that we've got a fixed cash. And there's very little space to maneuver. But we are interested if you convince us that we'll be able to talk on your behalf and say increase the money, because one of the editors of the Department of Science and Technology needs more money. If you convince us that you really need this money, because we really believe that the fact that the fist looks confident. There's very little area to maneuver. Now, what we're looking at, the money that you already got, are you using it properly where it's supposed to be done? Is there no wastage in the money that we give you? And if you could convince us on that area, and you are doing the work that you're supposed to be doing, we can say, oh, these people, they are managing the money well, they're doing what they're supposed to do. I don't have to mention what you're supposed to be doing, then please give them more money. We are not saying that you will get the money, but we'll make those strong recommendations backed by the law. Now, what we've done, we've looked at the auditors and our support who are doing the same type of work that we're doing, looking at how we're using the money. Since we're a new committee, we're not a new committee, but we've taken over from other people. So we asked the researchers of Parliament to tell us what has been going on. Where have you fumbled or where have you done well? So that those areas. So we're using those documents, the auditors and other documents, the researchers, to see how we're doing. And we're using our own knowledge, this little time that we've been here. We're using that knowledge to say, no, these people are doing well, so you should do something about them. It is on that basis that we've called to that edition. As you know, we've been doing the oversight, but now we've got this new law, which we want to make sure that it was saying positive PR, present review and recommendation and so forth. And at the end of the day, we're going to make a report to Parliament, making some of those recommendations, if we feel that the authorities are functioning. So I'm not going to waste any more time. I'll ask you to make those presentations that you are going to be making. But I wanted you to be clear why we need this information. So I'm not sure that the leader is going to introduce himself to the members and then introduce the other members. The only person that I know is Matutu. I'm 们是我也是这个这个四十个三十个那么多个四十个那个我想这个我七个几岁就也做了那个一直希望这就这些已经是个几岁的那个那个那个我做了我不知道做什么感觉做做做做做做做做做做做做做做做做做做做做做做做She will answer. Okay. Oh, nice. This is the lady that we're waiting for. It's only that she was afraid that he told me that the friendship is. Okay, okay, we'll give over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, and good morning, honorable members of the committee. And thank you very much all for those helpful remarks, Chairperson. My name is Professor Wieland Gevers. And I must first apologize for the absence today of the President of the Academy, Professor Daya Reddy, who unfortunately is at the moment not able to attend today and has asked me to attend his place. But I can do that because I am an advisor to Council, having been the President of the Academy and the Executive Officer some years before that. So if I could introduce the rest of the delegation, Professor Roseanne Dyad is at the moment the Executive Officer of the Academy, and has been in her second term. And then we have Dr. Kola Marti, who is the Chief Operating Officer of the Academy, has been in that position for quite a long time. And then Mr. Morakeng Jiruane is the, Mr. Jiruane is the Financial Officer, is to the right, to the left of Professor Dyer, and then beyond Mr. Dr. Marti, who is the Chief Operating Officer. So thank you, Chairperson. We are here to present in the spirit which you have introduced the session, to present the annual report, using the annual report as our explanation of what the Academy has been doing, and we hope to be able to answer your questions and questions of other honourable members of the committee once the presentation has been done. So I would like, with your permission, to ask Professor Dyer to do the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. It is a pleasure to present this annual report on behalf of AFIS. I'll start with the background of the Academy. The Academy was established by an Act of Parliament, 1996, and was inaugurated in 1996 by Act of Parliament came about in 2001. And our mandate is captured in this slide here. It's first of all to honour distinguished scholars, and we use that sense in a very broad way, distinguished scientists, in all fields of scientific inquiry, so covering all the disciplinary fields. And the second part of the mandate is to generate evidence-based solutions to national and global challenges. So it's a science advisory mandate, and that's taken from our own. I've spent some time looking at the goals which are articulated in our report and in our annual performance plan, the strategic plan. The first is the honorific role, which is the recognition and reward of excellence. And we have a number of ways in which we do that. The second is the promotion of innovation and scholarly activity, so to advance knowledge in the country for the knowledge-based economy. The third is the promotion of effective evidence-based scientific advice, that will be in support of policy development. The fourth is the promotion of interest in and awareness of science education and generally awareness of science. And then finally, to promote national, regional, and international linkages, recognizing that we wouldn't be able to do the work that we did unless we embed ourselves within the region, the continent, and the globe as a whole. Our goals are closely aligned with government goals, and I've picked out some of the goals that we align with and particularly closely, and I think perhaps the most important one is that of the skills development, strengthening the skills and resource base of the country. The second one is the linkages goal, looking at regional development, African advancement, and international cooperation. And then some thematic improvement of the health of society, improvement of rural development and food security, and improvement of environmental assets and natural resources. And we'll see to some of the projects that we undertake how we align with these goals. The Secretariat, which is based in Pretoria, is divided up into five programs, which are depicted here. At the top, we have our governance and administration, which is responsible for the reporting requirements and all the financial aspects. And on the left, going down, we have the policy advisory program, which is where all the projects, the studies are undertaken, and this is where the science advisory component of our mandate is executed. Then we have a very large program on scholarly publishing, our liaison activity, focusing on both national and international liaison is a separate program, and then finally communication and publications, and I'll take you through some of the publications that we have. So if we look program by program, first of all, governance and administration, and in red there you'll see what some of our goals are. It's primarily and obviously to promote good governance, and we do that through all the compliance reporting to the Department of Science and Technology, the audits, and the financial and HR management. And I'm pleased to report that we do have a clean audit. Secondly, it's promotion and recognition of members and participation in other activities. We're a membership-based organization, and so it's incumbent on us to ensure that we involve our members in the activities of the Academy. And we do that in a number of ways, through our annual award ceremony, through our AGM, through election of scientists, through membership of the Academy, through active panels, which are responsible for undertaking studies, and through various scholarly lectures that we give around the country. And our goal is to pursue cultural alignment, lack of activity, and DST goals. So we have regular bilateral meetings with DST to ensure that we are speaking to each other in terms of what activities we undertake. And then we are in the process of coordinating some strategic discussions on some of the bigger issues for the Academy, one of which is membership. As I said, we're a membership-based organization, and it's important for us to ensure that we have representativity across all races, gender, and science disciplines. And so we're in the process of discussing some innovative ways in which we can ensure this. The sustainability of access is an important consideration for us to make sure that we can undertake all our activities into the future. And then we've also been in discussion with DST and other science councils about an enhanced role of access in terms of the science advisory system, advisory mechanism within the science system. We are governed by council. Members are elected to membership of the council. The council comprises 12 members elected from the membership, plus one who is appointed by the Ministry of Science and Technology. Council in this past reporting year met four times. The attendance of members of council is depicted there. The office there is comprised president, the vice president, the general secretary, and the treasurer. The members of the Academy, these are the scientists, who are practicing scientists in the country. During the last reporting year, we elected 32 members to the membership of the Academy, bringing our total membership to 423 at the end of March of this year. And the composition is effective there, 24% women and 27% black. And this is the some of the demographics that we're seeking to change. In terms of membership by discipline, that's depicted there. You can see that we have a number of categories, and members self-categorize themselves into various disciplines. The largest number is still in life sciences, and we have smaller numbers in the mathematical sciences and agricultural sciences. And so it's always an ongoing effort to try to ensure that we get better representation from those categories, because it helps us when we undertake our studies. This period, at the end of March, we had a full-time staff of 23, all based in Pretoria. We also published the South African Journal of Science, the SAJS, and that is run by a part-time editor-in-chief, plus 10 associate editors. And then we published the Science magazine, Quest, that is also staffed by a part-time editor, plus some other part-time administrative staff. Turning now to the policy advisory program. So this is the engine room of the Academy, just like before personally for the engineering, where the work gets done, but it really undertakes all our evidence-based projects. And I think it's perhaps important to say that our projects are focused in a number of areas that are selected based on expertise of our members and to align with government priorities. So the general area of our list today, you can see we've got health, fire safety and biosecurity, and I won't read through the others, but I think it's here on the slide. What I'll rather do is focus on some of the activities that we've undertaken in the past year under each of these headings. But perhaps just before I do that, many times we ask, how do we select the studies that we undertake? What about this selection? It's both a proactive and a reactive. Sometimes a study could be initiated from within the academy itself because we deem it to be an important topic. It could be something that we ask to undertake by DSG. But in most cases, we have got what we call standing committees in each of these areas, which is a committee of specialists who provide the strategic direction as to what studies we should undertake. So there will be a standing committee on health, biotech, and biosecurity, etc. So what we achieved in the health portfolio over the last reporting year, we published a study on improved nutritional assessment. It was an in-depth consensus study, so this is a study which would take anything from 18 months to 2 to 3 years to complete, and it's undertaken by a panel, and they write a report and make recommendations that we would then spend some time getting uptake in terms of recommendations that we made. We also started an in-depth study on looking at health professional education and training in South Africa. And that started at the beginning of this year, and it's well underway, so I anticipate that we might have something to report this time next year about that study. Something else we did in collaboration with many African science academies were on tobacco control in Africa. South Africa, as you're well aware, has very good legislation in terms of tobacco control, but it's not the case in other African countries. So it was a very good opportunity for us to collaborate with other African science academies and to use the knowledge that we had gained and partner with them to produce a report that would have an impact throughout Africa. And it was aimed at policy making. And our academy launched that report at a static workshop, and it was extremely well received by officials from health departments and in government from SADC countries. We also did something on mental, neurological, and substance use, MNS disorders. At the time that the annual report was written, all we had completed at that stage was a survey of curricula in MNS disorders at tertiary institutions with a preliminary survey. But we subsequently actually had a workshop on this and found that this is really a topic that we need as the academy to take forward because there is so much that needs to be done in the mental health area and drug abuse area. Turning now to the biosafety and biosecurity, we have had a consensus study on the state of biosafety and biosecurity in South Africa underway. It's in a process that's undergoing peer review at the moment and it should soon be published, a really important report on some critical biosafety issues we need to look at in the country. In the energy and environment field, during the last reporting year, we undertook a number of studies, particularly in collaboration with other organizations. So the first one here, the state of water in Southern Africa, was again a collaborative effort amongst the science academies in the SADC region. And we launched the policymakers booklet in Zimbabwe, and it was extremely well attended by policymakers in Zimbabwe, and I think also helps with capacity development of the Zimbabwean science academy. The technology for a low carbon society was a wonderful workshop that we held in collaboration with the German Science Academy. It led to the publication of a proceedings report, which was subsequently launched and published, and it's available with some very interesting about renewable energy and low carbon technologies in the various sectors, such as water, waste, and so on. We've been undertaking a study on the state of green technologies in South Africa, and as part of that, we hosted a symposium on what are the drivers, barriers, and gatekeepers to green technology implementation in South Africa. Again, very, very interesting, because it's highlights that it's not actually technical problems that we're facing. It's more other issues that are holding us back. The fourth bit of what is there relates to a first for the Academy. It relates to the IPCC assessment report, which you probably will understand for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change assessment report. So these are the big reports that are brought out in every 5 to 7 years by the United Nations. And there were many South African scientists who were involved in this report. And so what the Academy did was actually host a media event to bring the journalists to the event so that the scientists who were involved could inform journalists exactly what role they had played in this, and that was a really wonderful event. State of Energy Research in South Africa, again a report that speaks to what we're doing in terms of training and research in the country. Humanity, many years ago, I think it was 2011, we published a report on the state of humanities in South Africa, and we have been engaged in working together with various stakeholders to try to implement some of the recommendations for that report. And during the reporting year, much of the effort of this committee was on planning for their major conference, which they held in June, which the Ministry of Science and Technology addressed. Our activities in the STEM education field, again guided by a standing committee, focus on two main activities. The one is on revitalizing agricultural education and training in South Africa. This is an in-depth consensus study that's underway, and it's really looking at this important sector, which is so important for food security in our country. Then we have a project called La Mano La Paz, the MAP, which is, La Mano La Paz stands for Hand in the Dough, so it's inquiry-based plant education teaching. It's a pilot project that we have implemented together with the French Science Academy and the French Embassy in South Africa at 10 primary schools in the south of Pretoria. And we're having good success in introducing this program as inquiry-based methodology into those 10 schools. Our Science for Poverty Alleviation Committee has undertaken a variety of work over the years. During the reporting year, their focus was on genetic modification technology, and it was focused on the agricultural sector. And again, it was a policymaker booklet that was done in conjunction with other science academies and launched in Nairobi. We undertook two science policy studies looking at the impact of research done by centers of excellence that was published to the NRF. And then a review of the FTI system in South Africa, which was a report to the DFT completed journal of engineering. Turning now to one of the biggest programs in the Academy, the Scholarly Publishing Program. So this is a program that is actually aimed at implementing the recommendations of a report that was done by the Academy some years ago, in 2006. And it's got a number of thrusts in it. And it's difficult for me to highlight everything that this very large project is doing. But just a few pointers. The open access platform is an extremely ambitious undertaking. It's planning to put South African journals, of which there are currently about 300 published in the country, if they pass a qualification test after they've been evaluated, they can get loaded onto the open access platform, and the aim is to make these titles available fully open access and free to the entire world. So it's really promoting the visibility and accessibility of South African scholarly journals. Our open access platform has been operating for a number of years, but during this last reporting year, it was certified by its parent organization, operation, CLO Brazil, as certified operational communications. We were very, very pleased with it. And we had a major launch to announce that. And at the end of March 2014, we had 41 South African journal titles available on this platform. We currently have 47. So we're just going, adding on 10 per month. And it's improved the accessibility of South African knowledge production considerably. The program also runs a national scholarly book publisher forum. And the purpose of that is really to look at doing for scholarly books, much more has been done for the journal. And some of the activities of the committee were to put a proposal for a national scholarly book fund to the Department of Higher Education to try and see if we could assist authors with publishing scholarly books. Sometimes it's very difficult to even find the funding to do that. The peer-reviewed South African scholarly journals, as I said, this is part of the evaluation process of the journals to see whether they qualify to be loaded onto the platform. And there were a number of discipline groups that were completed during this past year. And I think I should say that the founder of the scholarly publishing program in the academy was Professor Yeva, he's sitting to my right here, so if you have any questions, I think they need to be directed to him, an authority on this. Another initiative of this program is the National Scholarly Editors Forum. So this is now an entrenched event in the ASCAP calendar. There's held 7 meetings over the year. It brings together all the editors of South African scholarly journals and talks about improving editorial practice in the country. And that's what it aims. Just get them to share experiences and improve editorial practice. Access to core commercial databases is an initiative that was first proposed to ASCAP by the Minister of Science and Technology in her previous tenure, when she said that ASCAP should investigate how we could get better access to commercial databases, which are extremely expensive and subscribed to not on an equitable basis throughout the country, but institutions that can afford it, subscribe to all, and making this a single national license so that all universities and research organizations would have access. So we've made considerable progress in that and hope that we're going to be able to implement that soon. As I said, we published the South African Journal of Science, and the South African Journal of Science is now in its 110th year, so it's a very old journal. It's a multidisciplinary journal. It's our flagship journal, and I think it actually is the flagship multidisciplinary journal on the African continent. It aims to publish work that is of interest to a multidisciplinary audience, and it should be something that everyone should be able to read and find out about different specialist fields. It's now gone fully digital, so one can download it and access it on your mobile, on your tablet. We use Facebook and Twitter, so we've come a long way into the 21st century from the old paper copies of the journal. And we distribute the highlights and the table of contents very, very widely, and we would be happy to distribute to members of the portfolio committee if you're not already on our database. And we're really just aiming to make this the journal of choice for South African academics and scholarly readers, because it's quite a large news and views section in the beginning as well, where you can read about things that are happening in the science system and higher education in general. IEAs on program, first of all, international. So the Academy is part of a family of academies globally, and I'm not going to run through all those acronyms, but just to tell you that they stand for Global Networks, African Networks, and so on. And importantly, ASCAP is represented in the executive of most of these organizations, so we're playing with a leading role. We also have bilateral relations with a number of academies, and the list is there of the ones that are most active. That's the Indian Science Academy and Leopoldina, which is the German Science Academy. In terms of the activities that we have, I would say probably the most important one was the Inter-Academy Medical Panel General Assembly and Conference that we hosted in August 2013. The topic was on non-communicable diseases, and it was exceptionally well attended by delegates from many, many different countries. I'm there the international forum that ESSA is represented on, just to give an indication that we have quite a large international footprint. In terms of our African cooperation, NASAC stands for the Network of African Science Academies, a very important body in which we've always played a leading role. It provides us with a good platform to network with other African science academies and take joint projects. The African Science Academy regularly get together in an annual meeting, and I think this is a meeting in Ghana to which the chairperson referred that he attended, which was a meeting of African Science Academy, found back on maternal health. And every year they meet and have a topic and exchange experience. It's a very important forum for us. In terms of national liaison activities, our focus here is on, and this slide is on excellence, the award of excellence. So we award the African Science Society Gold Medal. And in the last reporting year, Professor Olusegun, the CEO of the HSRC, was a recipient, and Professor Robert Prue received the Gold Medal for outstanding meritorious service, both for the South African Academy, the African Academy, and globally. We also collaborate with the DST to give out the prize for young scientists, the African Union Trust Prize, and they're given in two separate fields, one of which is earth and life sciences, the other in technical and mathematical sciences, which we both are there, and then the Trust Prize on public understanding and popularization of science, such an important aspect in our country, the awardees also just here. We also do the Sydney Brenner Fellowship, which is a postdoctoral fellowship named after a Nobel laureate who was educated in South Africa and who donated some of his Nobel Prize money to the Academy to award this fellowship. And we award this one or two per annum. And Sydney Brenner himself links with the postdoctoral students to assist. Other activities that we engage in are women's scientist activities. So we have a national chapter of an international organization that is looking at a number of different activities related to women's participation in academy structures globally. And we also host a Gender Insight, which is a global organization, and we host the focal on Southern Africa. Cohort is the committee of heads of organizations of research and technology, so all the NRS, CSIR, etc., we just take a care for that. Looking towards the end, the communication and publications program just lists the number of reports that we produce during the year, and I should say that it's not just the production of the reports that's important, we also really try very hard to ensure that this report is effectively disseminated as widely as possible, and that we liaise and present the report to appropriate target audiences, particularly when it's a weighty consent study report. So there were 7 reports produced. The South African Journal of Science published bi-monthly, so there were 6. The Quest Science magazine is quarterly, so there were 4. Outreach events where we interact mainly with scholars for 8 and media statements 21. Our science magazine Quest is a full colour quarterly public science magazine which is distributed to schools with science departments, 25,000 copies published, and we also distribute it to education faculties at various universities and to science. And then I come to the statement of our financial position, and for that, Honourable Judge, I'd like to pass over to our financial manager, Mr. Chuwani.
Thank you, Roger. And Thank you, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. We are yielding before members of the committee as of approach for the financial statement for the same financial year that the executive officer of the Academy has been making the presentation of the report. With regard to our statement of comprehensive income for the financial year ending March 31st, 2014. Our total income, which was made up of baseline funding from government to the Department of Science and Technology, totaled 26,209,000. I'm pleased to report that the Department of Science and Technology remains the main source of funding for the Academy. Of the total income we receive, 79% of that is what we receive from government. 15% of that is from other sources. Membership fees, income from publications, interest generated from some short-term investment that we have. The related total expenditure in the same period amounted to just over 23 million. That at the end of the financial year left us with a surplus of just over 3.1 million. Yes, we are mindful of the requirement by the National Treasury that entities should not accumulate surpluses. And this was not by design that, you know, we ended up in this situation. It is just that we, you know, happened to generate some income from other sources in the process. So at the beginning of that same particular financial year, we did not know of or we were not taken off. To that effect, we had to engage the National Treasury as to where can we roll over this month. And I'm happy to report that about 2 to 3 weeks back, we received a letter from the Department of Science and Technology from the National Treasury confirming that we can roll over those funds, and therefore those funds are part of our budget for the current financial year. With regard to our statement of financial position, there wasn't much movement really. Our statement of financial position is made up of assets in the form of you know, computers and printers. We didn't have much movement in that regard. This also includes furniture, but in the year under review, we didn't acquire the furniture. Something that I think is worth mentioning to the committee is that our current external firm of auditors have been our service providers for a number of years now. And in order to ensure compliance with the National Treasury requirements as well as the Auditor General, it is about time that we look for another service provider. For the requirement is that you know, we should rotate our auditors. And I'm quite confident that as much as we are still in the market for a service provider in that regard, that the current financial year audit will be done by a different form of auditor. Thank you very much.
You want to put your last word?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'd like to say that what you have heard is the account by Professor Dyer of the many activities we are undertaking. They involve a large amount of cooperation, as you heard, with other African countries, the academies of African countries, and internationally. And they also involve a lot of involvement of our members as well as non-members in the panels of the work that we do. I'd like to make just one last comment on Mr. Chiluane's report about our financial position. That is that we have never had a home of our own. We never had a building. We had to reside and be tenants and pay large rents and so on to other bodies, as we are now in a private building and have to extend a great deal of money. So that one of the reasons that we are in fact very actually and energetically looking for a home for the Academy in Tswane, which will be suitable for the particular kind of organization we are, which will house our growth and our future activities, that it's likely that if we are successful in that, and we work very closely with the DST, of course, about these matters, that we will then not have any resources left. In other words, that these growing services to which reference was made have been, in a sense, to be able to house the Academy. That's been the main intention. And I think in future, we'll be reporting if we can't establish ourselves in a suitable accommodation, which would be cost-effective and suitable for our purposes, and we will then be reporting exactly as all entities do on annual expenditure of the money we've been given on for the purpose of which they were given, and they will not be as anomalous position. Thank you.
The business of Chile for the Chile was in New South Wales for the first of the No, thank you very much. The members are going to be engaging you. And I think the last point that you have made, Professor, is really important. It's something that we need to consider on our report. And I'm not saying that it will happen, but it's something that is really important, especially that if it's touching you, you want to have something of your own. But I know the academicians, they concentrate on their work. There are some other people who are to do those things. Now, because we are concentrating on your evidence-based research where nobody looks after you properly, as far as this other thing, it's only children who are looking after your money, but you can't look after the property. Now we are staying in the Amanda job. We are staying in the shed. Because of the problem. Okay, members, that is the report. Thank you for very much for the report. I think you might not be aware. I mean, having looked at life, life is dynamic. It being dynamic, we cannot live this life without having the first track so that we can plan and make policies that are going to help us in that dynamic way. I'm sure you are not aware that you are as important as that. Any government cannot force ahead without having evidence-based work that they are going to make their policies based on that. Otherwise, you can't just wake up and say, I'm going to do this without having evidence that is it going to work or is it not going to work. So we are very important, but I'm sure as not only you, the whole Department of Science and Technology, I don't think we realize how important it is. But having worked here for a short period, we think that you're very important, especially if you work with integrity and honesty, which most of the academicians do. I mean, academicians are not corrupt. The only thing that is on they can do, I'm not sure if you know, sir, they can only steal somebody's paper and but they don't mismanage money. If you give them 2 million, it will go where it's supposed to go. Because they're interested in their good people, that's all, nothing else. So you are very important. And the comment that I'm making, I'm not asking you questions. They are not related to what we talk about, the members are going to go into that also. But I discussed some of the things that we have mentioned. One of the things that you mentioned, you said, the question is always who decides what sort of strengthens to be like. My question there is, would you allow parliamentarians to suggest some of the things that, if we say, can you do this for us, would you do it, and at what price what would you say if we request to, from especially the parliament, I'm not talking about the department, I'm just talking about the parliament. There are certain things that are very peculiar to South Africa. One of them is you talk about mental illness in South Africa. You know, when you this is just a comment. If you move around South Africa, there's a lot of anger in people are very angry. And one tends to locate that to the fact that to locate it to our past. And we haven't come to grips because no psychotherapy was done with what was happening. But now we want to confirm whether are we right in thinking that we are angry, something needs to be done to us. But that is not true for now. You talk about tobacco. It's always interesting that there are countries who can never survive without having tobacco. On the other side, tobacco is very dangerous. But I'm imagining countries like Malawi, where they will never survive without no tobacco. Now, in South Africa, saying that we've got a fiscal strategy, if it's fixed, and some of the money that we're getting is coming from the taxes from tobacco, would we be strict in looking at tobacco or wouldn't we? But it's not something that you have to answer. It's something that, it's just something that makes you think, but I'm saying this in trying to thank you. What the members are going to be asking you questions that are going to drive us towards what we need. Thank you very much for the members. That is the, I was just making those comments. But it's up to you to ask questions. I see Annelie. Oh, I'm afraid all of us are going to be asking. Okay, Annelie.
Thank you very much, Chen. Thank you for the presentation. I would just like to know on the statement of comprehensive income of the year, I see there was quite an increase from 2013 to 2014. Could you just perhaps explain that increase in the grants and donations? And then secondly, I see that perhaps the worrying sign is the decrease in the membership fees received. Does that indicate a decrease in membership as such, and is something being done? But is that a concern for the organisation? And then also on the same slide, travel and accommodation was more than double in 2014 as opposed to 2013. And then just lastly, also in terms of the kind of research that has been done, do you set yourself targets at the beginning of the year that you would like to have these kinds of outputs, or is it more an ad hoc process?
What do you think about it? Thank you. Thank you, Nick, I'm going to come into the front line.
Okay. You want to go to the front line?
No.
I'll be quick, Chair, but just on the statement of the financial position again, I see you suddenly got an investment now of 6 million. So if I add that 6 million investment to your surplus is in fact 11 million. Am I correct to say that? But where do you get the investment in?
From the reserves that the academy has been able to accumulate over years.
Okay.
The surplus relates to the movement between income and expenditure for 12 months.
Good. And just tongue in cheek, the policy advisory program on health studies. You say you have consensus studies on improved nutritional assessment. Some notes part of that.
I think Tim Nox has come with new revelations. If you read this book, new revelations, but they listen to make sense. But we'll talk about that later. Well, okay, Marlene.
Thanks very much, everyone, and thank you for the presentation. I just noticed a change in the process of the number of professors. I think by the end of the term, we'll also be professors. You know, Chief Sakoi was writing the game. It's like that thing that you put by Professor. Thank you very much, Chair. I think some of the issues were raised by my colleagues. But I would firstly like to congratulate the agency, the Academy for Consistent Clean Audit. I was going to ask about that nutritional program, the assessment that was done, and wanted to know whether you also collaborated with some of the entities that are within the department, yesterday with an ASA, who is now going to be part of HFRC, the talk about the study, which is also similar study in money logic. So I just wanted to find out if they say. But I think it's very helpful because we would love to have the publications. And so on the state of the water in Southern Africa, besides, it was done, but Zimbabwe, besides the safeness of water, the issue of the scarcity of water, did you also look at it? I was interested in the tobacco issue, so I was saying, because there's a contradiction just within my exam on the public policy, and I focus on tobacco looking further, and especially the contradictions between profit and health issues. Very interesting. I think if I have to continue with that, I'll ask for some of your take on that. I also want to know if you've got mentoring programs, especially for young scientists and science students. And but also we continuously talk about in Zulu there's this thing called Shosemans. You start them when they are young. Any collaboration with the Department of Basic Education to ensure that from primary level, that particular aspect is the teachers instilled in their minds so that they grow up, you know, with looking forward to issues of science. I thought you usually say when you are growing up, especially in the rural areas where they saw an aeroplane, they would say very strong and incorporated, especially the African children and yet the white children would want to know why that they floating out there. So I think if you start at that age, for any age, it would be helpful. But the only objective that is in the book on page 13, the key objective is promoting applied scientific thinking in the service of society. So that is one other area, but also to have outreach programs and to society. And the tracking of the relevant entities, especially on the health ones, if you see the I thought about that peer review issue. How did you go into that, and also advising part of the reports, the country reports, on where we are in relation to those MDGs that are related to ourselves. I was trying to find, I think my colleagues raised it on the issue of your target against achievement. I think to the current GCCU, the target has 200 publications, and whether you met that or you far surpassed that. So I think in future it's something that we appreciate to have. And lastly, on the finances, they have 79% of the grant and donation from government, and 30% from the Science and Technology, the Department of Science and Technology. And somewhere there is some grants that you receive from the Department of Higher Education and Training. So it is factored in the part of the 79% is just from science and technology, what percentage or how much you get from higher education, yeah. The higher education, because I think it is an important collaboration with us and that as well. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much.
Thank you, but before you come, thank you very much. Professor Deb, I'm not sure if you do encourage the other people who are not in the university, especially in the little parts of the land, to understand how important research is. Sort of marketing. I'm saying this, I'm reminded by what Honorable Masebo is saying. I'm reminded that you can go to most of the GPs, the general practitioners, the doctors, and you ask them how many patients have they seen that have got a temperature. They would know. But if you ask them how much money did you make a week, they would know. They'll know that I've made so much in a week. But they won't know how many patients that had a temperature of 38 degrees or how many skilled kids had that. Yet, most of the information is there. And that information is not helping him, it's helping the country to say in such and such a way. And you actually think of it when you was to be scared of Ebola and whatnot. Because most of the people, when they start having body pains, outside the GP, and if they don't record it, nobody would ever know that I had the answers. But if you ask them, how much money did you make that week, they'll tell you that I made so much. And now to change that type of idea that you must do research, even if you're small, in a small area, to understand how are you doing that? Are you helping them as a group that has chosen to be another? I'm just reminded, that my thanks.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Also to join my colleagues to comment the entity. In your presentation, you indicated that the academy is a membership-based organization, which generally says what it does is guided by the views of the membership. And at the same time, the academy is to interact with government and give advice on what needs to be done. How do you deal with the I can't say contradictions, but potential divergent views between what the membership wants to see happening and what government expects from ourselves. If, for instance, the annual performance plan of the department says this is what we want to achieve, how do you contribute towards that particular element? There is also an area where you talk of improvement of rural development and food security. We have been since 1994, the issue of rural development has been something that is at the center of what government want to achieve. More than 20 years down the line, the rural communities, they are still in the same situation that they were in before 1994, with the exception that some have water and electricity, some roads and some clinics and schools, but their way of life, it's not improving. And in many instances, you find that the morgans that villagers used to have where they used to plant sometimes in the past, maize and other things, they are no longer productive, those pieces of land in other areas, they have been taken over. With this that you are doing, are there possibilities that will wake up tomorrow and have an approach that will change the lives of our people in a meaningful manner? For example, in the past 5 years, we came with the rural development department. We went into a village in Sitatali, where I come from, in the form of quality
mediation,
to use it as a pilot to resolve problems that villagers are faced with. You go there today, not that the situation has not changed. There are some observations that you can say they've changed, the clinic, but their livelihood, the putting of bread, the food security thing, it's divisive. What will be the problem, or how do you contribute towards that? Probably it might also be impacted by the fact that the organization, by its own divination, is membership based, and that impacts on the things that they do or what becomes a priority in their program. I think those are the things that I thought I should ask the academy to talk on. But yeah, indeed, what they're dealing with is quite fascinating. The Honourable Maseko says that she will be excited when she alights the flight and there's a go-well process. Yeah, so I have a friend who was given a letter by a university to use the title. Maybe for the 5 years, we can find a way of associating that to get a letter that allows you to be called a professor for 5 years, but once you see to be a member of parliament, it will go away with the title. Thank you, sir.
I think you know that. I'm just saying, the best thing that is in office. The first lady that within 2 months she got a PhD. Maybe these members are going to apply. They won't get it in 3 months, they'll get it in 2 months. So you'll help them to get it in 2 months. I'm not sure whether it's true in the process that the first lady got it in 2 months. I'm not sure. Don't quote me, it's not the impression. But I've just said, okay, if you could answer those questions. Most of the questions, if you listen to them, the thing they actually say you make a diagnosis and allow the policymaker to do the management. Having made the diagnosis, give it to them. This is the diagnosis, give it to them. And the policymakers are supposed to manage that.
Very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think that we will answer these questions depending on where our expertise lies. I'd like to start, Chairperson, by saying that your first point about how we initiate a study and whether governments or this committee or so on, where anybody can bring suggestions to us, absolutely, it was built into the original model of the Academy that we'll be responsive or reactive to suggestions, to needs, as well as identifying questions that are important which have not been brought to it itself through that expertise. So we have spent a lot of time. We know the government model is regard science and technology as being the custodian of that, and we appreciate that. So we would never go to another department unless we were working with the DST. And I'll give you one example, that the very long and important study on clinical research that was done under Professor Mayorti's chairpersonship in 2009, that was with the knowledge of the DST, which had its own section on that topic, as well as the minister and the department. And the results of that report being published led to the minister and his department organizing a national health research summit, which in fact has led to the current research policy used by that department, based directly on the findings of our study. So that will give some of the flavor of how we interact backwards and forwards. So nevertheless, we are very keen to make sure that the fact that the DST has the general responsibility for science and technology across the sector, and that doesn't stop sectors from coming to us and seeking our help. But you'll see that we are working with agriculture, energy, and so on, which are other sectors. The second topic I'd like to answer on is the nutritional assessment. That is the outcome of a prior study that we did in 2006 and 2007 on the relationship between nutrition, and of course very topical, nutrition and HIV infection and TB infection. And our first report suggested that there was a lot of theorizing about nutrition but we do not have the best, most affordable, most robust method for assessing nutritional status. And therefore the second study was in fact a follow-on of the first, and it focused on how does one determine that somebody has a vitamin A deficiency, or a marginal deficiency, or is already deficient but you don't see any clinical signs that there is a shortfall in the total body economy. So therefore the purpose of this one was to ensure that nobody in this country, whether working in the National Health Laboratory Service or a clinic or whatever, is unaware that if you are worried about the status in respect of major common deficiencies or marginal deficiencies, that how you determine that clinically, either through clinical examination but especially through laboratory tests. So that's what the focus of that study. I believe it has made a material contribution, for example, to what the National Health Laboratory Service regards as the appropriate tests to be done in respect of populations or individuals. The last point I'd like to address is a very pertinent comment made by the Honourable Member Matalo concerning how does a membership-based organization deal with the question that it's responsive to governments, to national needs, etc., and that has a membership base from which there will be opinions and experience. Now, the structure of the academy is set up to deal with that. The membership is elected on the basis of two criteria. One is excellence in science and scholarship, prone and demonstrated. Second is a demonstrated interest and capacity for public benefit to be got from scholarship. In other words, we don't get somebody who's the world's best mathematician if that person is not interested in helping society. So then we have two criteria, and thus those members, once elected, elect our council and dedicate to the council the leadership role in, for example, responding to government and to needs. And we keep the relationship going by being very open with our membership. So our internal communication tells them, what is the council doing, what are we considering responding to a government initiative, and so members can then make their inputs and declare whether they are for or against or would want to help in a particular way. So it is a process of backwards and forwards to ensure that the membership is a vote, a resource of people who are the country most outstanding scholars who have an interest in promoting society's benefits, and that they will take part in our panels, that they will come and help us, and that we are able to respond to government and play a real role in the science system. So I hope that will explain to the Honourable Member how we have, in a sense, addressed the very important issue which he will call it. Thank you. I'd like to hand over now to Professor Dyer to do some of the others, and then Mr. Chiwane and Dr. Martin, but I'll take some of the others. Thank you.
You must not know that because you can. This is Honourable Master of on Fountain Road. You were together in the building. When you get out of the plane, it is that Papa and Papa
Sachs. The trouble with the is that I am of German descent. And in Germany, there's a mock name for professor, which is broad professor, which means the person's only able to afford bread.
thank you, Honourable Chair. Just to elaborate just very briefly on Christian's last point on that very important question. The membership of the Academy serves society in a voluntary capacity. I think it's important to note that. So all our membership who serve on panels and undertake studies for us do not get paid to do that work. It's all volunteer work. And if you think about 40-50% of membership is actively participating in panels, studies, producing reports. It's a very large percentage that volunteer and serve to society. And then I'd like to just pick up on the points which were raised about do we set targets and how do we measure our output. Yes, we do set targets for production of reports in terms of numbers, not specifically what areas they're going to be in. And I take the point that this is something that we should report in the future. I'm happy to report if we meet our targets, that we should report it. And then to pick up on the point about measuring programs and young scientists, I'm actually surprised that we didn't mention it in the slides that we presented, because I think it is mentioned in the report. We have a strong interest in promoting young scientist activities, and we've done that for a number of years through a variety of activities. We gave rise to the South African Young Academy of Sciences, which was founded in 2011, I think it was, or 2012, And this is a group of young professionals who are elected to membership of the Young Academy. So it's, we're the Senior Academy, they're the Young Academy. It has a slightly different model to us, but the objective of it is really to honour young scientists and to promote skills from young people and to give them a voice of young scientists in the country. They don't become members for life, they have a 5-year membership and then they roll off and hopefully qualify to become members of the Senior Academy at that point. But besides for the Young Academy, we also promote young scientists activities through the annual conference that we host for young scientists. And every year we do it on a different theme, which we align to either the UN International Year theme, or this year it is aligned to the African Union theme on agriculture and food security. And in fact, as I speak, that Young Scientist Conference is underway with about 120 participants from South Africa and other African countries in Pretoria. Do we collaborate with Department of Basic Education? We have an interaction with them. They have endorsed our science magazine Quest, but we do interact very closely with the provincial government in Gauteng. And we interact with them for our pilot projects on inquiry-based science education. So they form part of the steering committee and they have guided us in that program. It wouldn't have been able to be implemented if it wasn't for our interaction with them. Just in terms of,
I think the project on that one is collaboration. And I just wanted to, I forgot to ask the question. I saw that you had a pilot, the main pilot project. When is the full rollout and who's responsible? Who would then be the department in Gauteng that has to do the full rollout of the program?
In answer to your question, the pilot is in its third year now. We're not ready to roll it out fully. There's been challenges, both in terms of particularly funding, but also in terms of getting teacher participation because everything has to be done on the weekend. And also a coordinator for the project. But I think we are part of a very big consortium that's hoping to get some major international EU funding together with the University of Pretoria to, I think, give more substance to that pilot project on a much larger scale next year if we're successful. And then I think just to pick up on our slogan of the group, which is to find out scientific thinking in the service of society, I think that's exactly what the Academy is about. It's this dual aspect, excellence plus service to society. And I think just the last one was about the state of water in Southern Africa. Yes, it would have addressed both the issues of quality and, very importantly, the scarcity of water, because it is so important for fellow country. Thank you.
Thank you. With regard to the question pertaining to the increase in grant donations, that is it. For the substantial increase in 2014 was because of the increase in our baseline allocation. That's the main, one main reason. Maybe I can also combine that question with a question from the other honorable member of the committee with regard to the percentage of the increase in grant and donations or funding pertaining to that line item. The 79% that I referred to, yes, that is the percentage of the funding we received through the Department of Science and Technology. We did receive a funding from the Department of Health. That was in the amount of 100,000. That makes up actually less than 1% of our total grant. In that same period, we didn't receive any other funding from the government department, including the Department of Higher Education. But in the current financial year,
is 2014 to 2015, we will be able to report a slightly different picture in the sense that we received about 5.1 million from the Department of Higher Education. We are interested in this. It was challenged through the University of Pretoria. But we are not talking about it. We are not reporting on that because it's for 2014-15. They will be only focusing on 2013-14.
With regard to membership, yes, notably there is a decline in our collection of the membership fees. We take cognizance of the fact that the academy has the kind of membership pay. We have the means and the resources to pay their dues. But unfortunately, we have had a situation where we had a sizable number of members who didn't stay in the base today. But we are following up on them. Looking at various strategies which we can enable to make sure that they pay. And we are waiting on that. And I think that in the next period we will work a different picture. Something that we will also take cognizance of is yes, it is true that our membership base increases on an annual basis because we have a certain number of individuals who become members of the academy on an annual basis. So we have to the situation whereby members become coaches. With regard to travel, my colleagues here have already indicated that we have a number of activities and in those activities we have members of the academy who take part in those activities voluntarily. But when the academy is the one that says, sends them to those to participate in those activities, the academy is duty bound to, finance or to fund their children, and therefore we take care of their travels. Since they are sent to those activities, it is therefore expected that it is the academy that is to pay for their travel. If it is outside of that country and there is accommodation involved, the academy has to pay. It has happened whereby some members were requested, I can say, to go and represent the academy in workshops and conferences outside of the country. That has happened. But also, even for members of council who, take part in other activities voluntarily, so it is the academy that, pays for their travel as well. So, depending on the number of activities, that has an influence on our on the cost we spend for travel. I suppose I have answered the honourable member with regard to a question related to surplus and yes. With that then I think that I have attempted to answer all questions unless if I missed a question, but from what I noted here, I think I have answered. Thank you.
Until you don't want to leave this place without talking.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. Just to play and highlight some few, one or two, salient points. And one of them is the question you earlier asked and regarding what decides and what studies are undertaken and can Parliament suggest studies. One of the challenges we actually need to confront as the academic is to strengthen relationship not only with government, other government departments, but also with Parliament itself. So, and I'm extending my visit here because we've scheduled some meetings with the parliamentary researchers, so that we can really forge a stronger relationship with the researchers. We actually, as you said, Chair, the service the committees, because also want beyond the present committee of science and technology, beyond presenting our annual report and our pens, but also to give the opportunity for Parliament to really engage directly with the studies we actually do in undertaking, also other committees as well, given the opportunity. So we would really like to strengthen that that relationship, because it's quite critical. But also with regards to, you know, forging a relationship with other government partners, you know, whenever we choose the studies, we always ensure that the studies we undertake are aligned with government goals, you know, and in terms of, you know, and the challenges that their country is actually facing. So that's a critical element that speaks to that question on the relationship between what the members of the academies actually do and the needs of government in terms of addressing the critical national challenges. But a quick one just to add on Quest. Quest is a science magazine which is actually to popularize you know, science, you know, among schools, particularly learners in township and rural schools. So it's a it also is an opportunity for the academy to use Quest as an outreach program to really encourage learners, you know, and to take science as an important subject. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. What's your report? We're going to formulate our own report on what you have told us, and we're hoping that the good ambassador is going for you to get what you want. Specifically, and that's the premises of your own. We'll put it in our recommendation, a thing that we want to know. Thank you very much. I think the most important point that I won't forget that it is a minimum amount of data. It's important how you choose your members. Second of all, choose your members because they want to give their knowledge for the benefit of the community. Because you can get too clever people. One would be clever to help the communities. The other would be clever and give the community, and they end up in jail for that. Because they are clever. They are clever, but they are intelligent, they use the gift to community. Thank you very much. Members, why do we change the system to SI coming? We can have something to hit that in the kitchen. For those who are not watching the waste. Even for you, you can have something to eat. The job will be very far, all outcome will be very far.
What was the cost?
If you go on tour, I don't think I've got a connection here, but you go into the PNGS hub, so PNG.org.ca, and then committee meetings, science committee, and then debate.
Does the committee go to the committee meeting?
It won't work from the PNGS to the PNGS. But you say ultimate report, and then the caption of the report, I'll tell the title of the report to you, and we'll do that.